All right, Kitty. Today is 50. This is our 50th podcast. A lot of pressure. Yeah. This is a huge milestone for us. Real big. I don't think it is, but 50 sounds like a lot. We're starting to crank these out pretty good now, so this has been a good little run, and starting to build a little momentum. People are looking forward to listening to this each week, so for everyone who's listening, tell people at the gym, listen to it. We'll make announcements too sometimes, and it's just good to have info for the gym, but you know, a lot of this is just us talking through, especially with it being weekly and not monthly. We're not going to be so tied to like a certain topic or anything. A lot of this is just going to be talking through, you know, what's going on with us, and maybe you guys can take something from it. So, you know, we're diving into like issues that we'll have, and that I think, you know, I just see a lot of people generally having around the gym, and how to pivot from it. And, you know, last night we were talking about, you know, I dove into set, you know, we're talking about setbacks last week, and, you know, just to fill you guys in, if you were listening last week, you know, not just to go on and on myself, but, basically what I've been doing, and it's working well, I'm starting to feel better. And, I've been doing a individual design program that I made, and something that a lot of you guys don't know, I do some individual design for athletes. Oftentimes it's people who've been hurt or injured doing CrossFit, or maybe they're just burnt. And I got a lot of experience doing, you guys did our pandemic training. So it was a lot of tempo work, because I had to figure out a way to get people in shape and maintain their physique and all the results they had gotten from doing CrossFit. And they might just have one dumbbell. So a lot of it was tempo. So it was like, okay, if you just have one dumbbell, it's really hard to get a potent stimulus the way you would with, you know, a barbell loaded on your back with 200 pounds. So we did a lot of like very slow tempo work, a lot of time under tension. And so these programs that I'll give people are tempo programs. And what tempo is really good in doing is it helps your body own that movement. So if you're squatting with a lot of weight, usually you're basically just kind of slowing it down, getting to the bottom and trying to explode up through the top. But with a tempo like goblet squat, you know, you're going through a range of motion. You might be dropping down for 3 to 5 seconds, really slow through that range of motion and hitting that middle range that you're usually kind of just flying through, and really strengthening everything through that range. And by doing so, that, from my experience, has really tended to help your body feel safe and then those injuries to heal. So I'm going through that, and it's really starting to help my back feel better. You know, I talked about I had like a hamstring and an ankle injury. It all kind of like everything just went out of whack all in 1 week. And those injuries are starting to slowly rectify over these last 2 weeks. And, you know, my best recommendation for anyone, like, even if you want to continue taking classes or things like that, if you get tweaked up or hurt, drop the weight down, add a tempo to it, and
basically like slow everything
down. Yeah, slow it down. I'll even, you know, you can even do that with Olympic lifts. So like, say we have a squat snatch or a squat clean. I had an athlete in here who he's had both of his hips replaced. So what I put on him is you're going to power everything, catch it in that power position, pause for 2 seconds, and then add a 3 second tempo on the way down to all your Olympic lifts. And he's been doing that and having a lot of success with that. He's not getting hurt. And he's like, okay, this feels like something sustainable that I can continue to do with these hip replacements. He's lifting pretty good weight doing that, and it keeps him really safe. So you might even play with that, even if you want to just work on strengthening movements and tightening things up. And that's
less impact on your joints, and more like the musculature around your joints kind of takes that on. Yep. And then it also, like, if you're working through an injury, like say your hamstring's a little tweaked and you want to try to engage your glutes, it's kind of teaching that those muscle groups to fire and giving them a little bit more time to make those adjustments, because moving through, you know, like up to speed tempo work, your body will kind of default to where it all of its strengths lie when you get tired, when you get weak. So, you know, that just how that tempo work kind of helps things.
Yep. It
helps your body feel safe.
Yep. You have to start pretty light at first. I wasn't used to it, and I'm not good at like that lactic kind of quad burn style of training. It's just like a week, you know, like tons of step ups or like walking lunge type enduro workouts like that. That's not what I like. It that chews me up. So it's a good weakness work for me as well. And, yeah, if I could just give like a piece of training advice, add some tempo. If you have shoulder issues, you know, it's like doing strict tempo pull-ups. I've been doing that a lot. And what it really does too, and what I'm noticing, I think overall, is it lets your nervous system calm down. So the week where I think everything went haywire, it was like a lot. It was a very Olympic weightlifting intensive week, heavy weights. I was kind of bottoming out and, you know, driving up really fast, doing a lot of really explosive work. My nervous system was all kind of shot. I wasn't sleeping.
Well, and we're coming off the holidays where, like, you know, even just the neurological, like, you know, you have Christmas and we're with the kids and it's a big day, and then New Year's Eve is a big day, and not let alone your sleep cycle. But you even have to think about it, like what it does to you neurologically, like you're getting all amped up and then a week later, all amped up again, and a lot of like family gatherings. And so just it's just something that I think that we don't really pay attention to collectively often, is like what's going on in the world and kind of like what time of year is it and how should my body complement that training. Even like it's super gloomy outside right now, like there's a lot that really affects your mood. And anytime, and the weather can affect your mood. If it was July, I think we would feel in sunny, we would feel a different sort of way. So anytime that your mood's affected, your whole body's affected. And just being aware of that. Like, you know, I was just having a conversation, with Lexi this morning. She said she felt her digestion's off, and I'm like, yeah, you know, honestly, all of my clients kind of feel that way. I feel that way. Anytime that I think, you know, my body, mind is under some stress, I always look at my skin. Do I have breakouts? Is it really itchy, flaky? Like my skin's always affected. Then my immune system, and then also, digestion. And injuries, like in repair. And I think, you know, what you were saying, you felt like all kind of just banged up and tired. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I just feel like my body's not coming back around. But our environment plays a big role in that. And that's why, like, you know, the ocean, the water, the sun can be so healing, because those, it is very healing. Vitamin D is healing. You have electromagnetic waves that come from the ocean and kind of help to calm down your nervous system. And that's with all these, you know, we sleep on one of those, what is it? Those mats that we really got into last year. That's supposed to kind of help like the
feel
negative.
Like you're grounding.
Yes. The grounding. Yes. So, I mean, there's truth in all of this. And I think people can get really kind of like lost and gung ho on it. And that's cool. Everything matters to some degree, but all these things matter. And if we've been far removed from some of those things that really help keep you healthy, it can be tough for your body to turn around and react in the right manner, or the optimal manner, should we say?
Yeah. I think if, you know, just from a training standpoint, though, if you're ever running into any issues, I think a lot too with like overuse, tempo is a great tool. And then, you know, moving on from that, I think where you're kind of going, and what I wanted to talk about too was It's sort of the idea, and I haven't done ice baths, but it's getting your endorphins, those happy feelings and those things going, really have a massive impact on pain, injuries, and recovery. So things like just one thing we can do when it's gloomy out is just going out and having fun and building those relationships. You know, not just holing up in our house, like going out, meeting friends, having people over, going out to a restaurant, hanging out with people, feeling connected and feeling happy and good. That is the quickest recipe to, like, when you get all of those endorphins and things going, that's when injuries, that's when you have another gear in training. I can't ever think of a time in my 20 years of training where I was feeling sort of depressed and on a hell of a roll training. Those things never meet. It was never like, man, I was just really bummed out. Didn't feel great about, you know, I just didn't feel good every day waking up and everything, but I was in great shape and I was really training at a high level. Like,
that's a really good point.
That has never happened. That's not a thing. So even if you're, you know, going out, having a meal that's not, you know, optimal for training or having some drinks with friends, if you're making those connections and you feel really good, or if you're single and you make a connection and, like, you know, you get a phone number from a girl or whatever it is, you bet your ass on Monday you're going to be on fire at the gym.
Regardless if you had a couple drinks,
100%,
and pizza.
100%.
And that's the fine line. And this goes for body stuff too, where I get to that point with clients and I'm like, listen, that meal out is actually going to help you relax and have fun. And believe it or not, you will be leaner because you relaxed and you had fun than if you just kept sticking to the same thing. Like, we all get in rhythms of, this is kind of what makes me feel good. And then it's almost like you feel like it's like good luck. Like, okay, when I have beef and rice and beans and broccoli for dinner, I feel this way. And then you think those foods are lucky, or this thing is lucky, mm-hmm. or this routine is lucky. And you start to get almost like superstitious with everything.
Yep.
And it's really like, hey, that day you probably had a good day.
Sure.
That day you probably felt really great. You probably had an interaction that made you feel really good. And how you feel, you know, keeping just rhythms that make you feel good are the most important. And I think that's, you know, what you're trying to say, whether it's socializing or, and with workouts too, like CrossFit's awesome, but you're like geared up all week long. We did yoga on Sunday and it was really, really nice to just kind of like take a slow day and just be in a different environment where everything is slow and I'm not leading a class or taking myself through this like mental burn of a workout, and just kind of, again, calming like your nervous system down.
It's a balancing act. What works, like I used to journal my workouts and I post things in Wattify, like when I'm training, so I can look back at things. But if I tried to just simply emulate what I did in 2011 for a training program, I'm not going to get the same result, you know,
your
12 years later.
Different.
Life
all
is
the time.
Is totally different. My body's different. The way my day is set up is 100% different. If I just try and execute that plan where I was like, man, I felt the best then, it's not going to work the same way. It just isn't. It's not.
And we all try to do that to some degree because you want to feel safe. You want to feel like, hey, this worked for me. And I, you know, I think like, just again, like if we can offer pieces of advice to keep like trying every year to get to that point where you kind of peak in your shape or fitness level at least like once or twice, so you feel safe and have the confidence that you can keep doing that as you age and as variables change in your life.
Yeah.
So even like, you know, with what you were saying about your training, something I wanted to address with the tempo training, that's how bodybuilders train. So, you know, even like to, again, like dealing with setbacks. So you might not be able to really like crush the open this year, but I'll tell you what, that bodybuilding type training, that can get people really, really lean. And I think in your mind, you always have to do CrossFit workouts. We're just having a conversation in the kitchen. I'm like, you're looking ripped right now. All that tempo training, just it like your muscle under tension, the time under tension is so much longer. That's what kind of shapes the muscle and forms it. And I mean, those like drop sets and tempo, just holds, that's all of bodybuilding. So when they get on stage and they're learning to flex and do this and that, is that muscular control, which in it, it's a different sort of way. You're not going through a flexing routine, but you're using that muscular control. So just to like be able to pivot, like, okay, hey, I might not be able to compete in this, but man, I can feel really good in on the beach in a week. Now, to not let myself spiral, let's keep the food tight. So then I can kind of see what's going on with my muscles under the fat and have this all. It, you don't need to do a CrossFit type workout to be lean. You don't need to do a bodybuilding type workout to be lean. You can kind of just work with what you're doing and get the desired effect.
Yep.
But I think, you know, to have like a focus for a period of time, and that's what we want to keep talking about too, as we're on the podcast, like kind of what we're working through, what our plan is like for this week or next week or what we have coming up. So you guys can kind of see how we're trying to navigate this and maybe getting some tips or learning from some of our mistakes as well. And just having more of like an open conversation.
Yeah. It's a moving target. So you'll find good rhythms. And I think one thing where I've made mistakes in the past is ride the rhythms out too until they have played out. Sometimes I'll mess with them early and it's not good. You know, I'm like, I shouldn't have broke that. But eventually whatever is working will stop and you've got to pivot, cycle.
You'll feel it. You won't like think about like, okay, we need it. It's not like a pre-plan. It's like, oh, I feel like it's time for a change.
The best example I was ever in my mind that I was able to really use that intuition was in 2021. We had gone through like summer shred and it was the very end of summer. And I just been working out and doing, you know, we had gotten through the whole pandemic and we're doing just CrossFit workouts. You know, I was doing them 5 days a week hard. And really it had been like 4 or 5 years. I hadn't deviated from that. Just every day. And that's always kind of my base, but it was just like, usually some point in there in the years past, I'd like take a couple months and work on something on my own, or I'd do power hour for a while. I hadn't done that. And I was like, I want to just slow down and get strong. It was just like this really innate feeling in my brain. And so I stopped CrossFit and did power hour for 12 straight weeks. And I didn't do any, I wasn't like running to try and stay in like CrossFit shape on the off days or anything. The only thing I would do is occasionally like drag a sled or like do heavy farmer's carries, like on Tuesdays between the Monday and Wednesday workout, like strength based, like very moderate to low intensity conditioning. And I got the strongest I ever got in my life fast in like 3 months. It was insane. But it was one of those few times I was able to like cancel out, like this should be my goal or what I should be going towards, and just really listened and followed my body and did that. And I think, you know, really not too long after that with the boxing, I did the same thing. I just like, it's like, man, something about this type of like training is really calling to me. And then I dove into that and I got really good at it because I just listened to my body. And I think what I've been doing more the last few months, I haven't found a great rhythm because I'm just kind of fighting it all the time. I need to listen to it better. And that doesn't mean not doing CrossFit. It means on that day where I'm like really feeling broken down, it might not be a bad idea to jump over to the barbell side, pull on some cables, jump on a treadmill, jog, shake out, have a light workout, and have that be my fifth workout of the week instead of, you know, grinding on Friday if I'm like beat tired or whatever for the fifth workout in a row, like doing something when I'm not feeling optimal. And that's how we set this gym up, is to meet you where you're at. And I think, you know, that's the whole idea behind it, the gym. But it's just, even in training, if people are listening who aren't at our gym, it's trying to listen to your body and detach your ego from your training. And I'm 40 years old and I'm not even close to mastering that. you know, your ego is what makes you push hard and try, but you have to rein it in. You know, you really have to rein it in. And I'm still really learning. And you always are like, Brandon, quit taking yourself so seriously. And I have to listen to that all the time because it's what keeps me from healing from little minor tweaks as fast. I'll just keep picking at them and, you know, I'll hurt it. And a day later, I'm, you know, trying to fix it, like doing things like that and jumping into things too fast. And so I'm really trying to learn from those mistakes, and I've gotten better like a little bit every year, but I'm not even close to being there. And again, it's all a moving target. And I think the next step really, and what I just haven't been doing enough lately is making those connections and just having fun more often when we're, you know, we go on more trips than most people. That's like our thing. We work, you know, you guys see us at the gym. If we're not at the gym, like, I'm not going to lie, like my laptop's flipped open at home. I'm answering emails. I'm programming. I'm taking it home. I don't get away from work a lot. So we literally have to oftentimes, like at least in our head, it's how we justify it, escape and go on these vacations, which are really fun, but it can create a roller coaster effect where then when you get back, it's just like work. I'm working out and I'm working and I'm setting things up. We're doing podcast, you know, we're doing all of these things, but it's being a little lighter during the week. It's having more fun. Tomorrow is a good example. Like, we're really trying to do that. Like, you've got a girls' night that you're going to do. And then I actually have like two man dates, which is funny. I'm meeting my buddy who is actually a gym owner right down the street, owns like one of the closer CrossFit gyms, Ryan McFadden at Ohio Strength. We're going to go out and have lunch and maybe have a couple beers. And then Matt at night, one of the husbands of the girls you're going out with, and do the same thing. And it's just like, I'm like, that's going to set me back, and, you know, or whatever with working out, or, and, you know, I've got these injuries and like having some drinks might do. And it's, when I really think about it, if I have a good time and I feel like connected to people, you get those good feelings and the, all those chemicals. Yeah. That's what like makes you start to heal. And that's what like those ice baths do. And like where people who like dive into those ice baths every day, what it creates is like almost like a panic attack, but then this euphoria afterwards. And that's where all the benefits come from, is you're getting all those good hormones and endorphins going through your body. And then like, then you don't have, it takes away all your pain. It's like a natural, like morphine that's injected into
your
body.
And that's great. But isn't it ironic that we have to torture ourselves to then feel good when you can actually just good old fashioned enjoy yourself, you know? And I mean, you've got to set yourself up in ways though that you don't.
It's a tricky balance though. Yes. That's why it's easier said than done, because to be successful in your business, in your health and fitness, it takes a lot of discipline and not being a jackass and going out 4 days a week with your friends and drinking and eating those yummy foods. Like, if you do that, like, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to have the body you want.
Right.
You have to dose things very.
So just to kind of like talk you guys through like the way that I kind of navigate this, or, and even just like this month, like, I know a lot of people are doing dry January and I think that's awesome. What I kind of want to work on for 2023, instead of like longer periods like that and a little more intense, I want to try to be more moderate overall, and then just maybe taking like a week, choosing a weekend to go through without, you know, having alcohol, where I'll still go out to eat, but like that alcohol factor does affect my recovery, which really affects my strength, which I'm trying to work on right now. So I just took last weekend off alcohol, and we took our son, we took Oscar to Chuck E. Cheese's. He had a birthday, I had pizza, I had cake. I had a meal out with my group on Friday. And then I think there was something else we did on Sunday. Anyways, we took the kids out to North Star on Sunday. There's three meals out, but I can still feel how much stronger I feel this week and more recovered, that makes a huge difference than going into this weekend. I'm like, okay, all week I'm nailing my diets pretty well. Even on Saturday where I'm going to be hanging out, like we're kind of celebrating my birthday with a group of girls. We're going to get massages. We're going to be drinking champagne. I know that I'm going to be pretty structured with my meals and have a snack and then enjoy myself for dinner, whatever I feel like. But always kind of keeping in mind, how do I feel? Not like what I used to do is like, this is the last meal I'm ever going to have. So I'm going to stuff myself and I wouldn't even really enjoy it because I'd be uncomfortable. So just making sure I feel good all the time. And when I feel like it's enough, I stop. So, but there's some structure that goes along with that. So we're having massages at 2. I already know I'm going to have like my normal breakfast, my normal post-workout, my normal lunch, and then I'm going to take a little bar with me to have right before my massage. So then when I go to dinner, and we always do an early dinner, that's something else I always set up like 5 p.m. That's what time I eat so I don't feel like crap the next day. And then, you know, having a plan the next day, we're going to yoga. I've already signed us up for the class, kind of get us moving and grooving. And, you know, I'm probably going to be a little hungover. When I'm a little hungover, it does not help me to lay around the house. So we're doing yoga, then I'm going to get my nails done, then I want to go to the grocery store. So I'm already kind of thinking through this, not to be like a psycho with this, but just kind of letting you guys know how much I plan through in my mind to set myself up for dealing with these areas that I know will be challenging for me. So when I have a day that I know is going to be mentally challenging, I really try to set myself up for success the best way possible. If I lay around the house and I feel like crap, I'm going to just start snacking all day, which is going to lead into like a 3-day feeling like crap. Obviously the goal is to not overdo it so much Saturday so I don't feel that way. And that's one of the biggest rules. But then also, hey, if I'm out and I'm having fun, I want to live life and be able to do that. So it is deciphering when, hey, this is a fun night. I can stay for an extra hour or two. It's not going to kill me. Or you know what? I'm kind of forcing it right now. I'm just going to go home. I've had fun. This is great. I'm tired. Literally just feeling how you feel.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm going to go. Or I'm having a ton of fun. I'm going to stay an extra hour. If you're having a lot of fun, then just like mentally commit, recommitting, like, it's okay. Tomorrow will be tough. I can take a nap. Here's a little space in the afternoon where I can get rejuvenated, and allowing yourself those areas where I'm keeping myself busy, but not packing it in so much that I'm setting myself up for failure. Mm-hmm. So it's setting yourself up for failure, like with your schedule, but then also mentally. If you mentally wrap your head around, man, Sunday is going to be a fight, but if I eat healthy Sunday, I will feel so good going into next week. And then we're going to leave for Turks and Caicos next Saturday. I want to feel good there. I really want to feel good. I really want to walk around and not be thinking about, does this outfit fit me? Do I not feel great? And we all have certain comfort zones where we feel best at. And I think every person should kind of try to think about where their body feels best, not pay attention to anyone else's, you know, whether, you know, I have kind of a weight range I feel best in, a sort of size range I feel best in. And it's just what's best for my body right now. And I've been at different points in my life where that's varied less or more. And you just got to kind of meet your body where it's at, but setting yourself up for failure and just kind of talking you through like how I envision that and how I, you know, kind of mentally prepare myself. And then when it comes time, just sitting like, hey, this kind of sucks. You're a little hungover. It's okay to feel crappy for half an hour. It's all right. You're not going to die. Like you literally aren't going to die. Drink some water, get over yourself. And I'll have to talk myself through that.
Sure.
Because in that moment, I'm like, oh, this is horrible. And if I'm just like, you know what? Breathe through it. Go play with the kids. Focus on them. Do this. You know, try helping someone else always helps me when I'm kind of like in those struggle points where I'm like, hey, just kind of breathe through it, focus on something else. You'll be okay. But it's a lot of like mental talk and planning. Not that we have it all figured out, but the more I work through this, the more I think mentally preparing myself helps.
Yeah. So to, I mean, the trickiest thing with this is, and what we're trying to do, I think, and this is the hardest thing, is finding a balance and living a really full life with this fitness lifestyle. When I initially got into CrossFit, I was like trying to be a competitive athlete and doing it. A lot of it was just simply isolating. So I would, you know, work out and put all my daily energy and life force into training, and I wouldn't hang out with anyone outside of the gym, outside of just training in the gym, for 2 months all the time. I remember it always being like right around 8 weeks, I'd start to lose it. But like where I was just like, all right, I got to get out. But
and this is interesting because we just had kind of a conversation about this last night and how people need to have fun. Because you're like, you know, if you're by yourself and you have reached the pinnacle of, like, let's say you're a millionaire and you've reached it in business and you have this amazing physique or reach these fitness goals or this athlete, you're still going to be miserable. But sometimes you will look back on that time period as the glory days of being able to be super selfish. But I don't think you were probably that happy. You were maybe enjoying the process of the training, yep, but that's not a full life.
No, I think it serves a purpose, and it is actually very enjoyable for a time, because what you see is this compounding effect of training, diet, and rest, like working at this exponential rate that is pretty crazy for a while. And you're like, wow, I'm Superman. I can do, you know, I can train at the super high level because I'm, you know, I'm not deviating from a diet. I'm super hydrated. I'm sleeping 10 hours a night. Like, you're doing all of these things, but at a certain point, you know, say you train for an event that plays out, then you've got 6 months before the next one or whatever it is. You go through a few cycles of that and you're like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is it. And you know, I love training, but as you grow older, it's like, it's not, that doesn't fulfill you quite in the same way, that isolationist like lifestyle. Maybe if you're just racking up accolades, I don't know. But I think where we're at and where most people are at is they want to, like, I see that person out on the beach. That's the most cliche thing. Whether it's out at the beach, the bar, whatever. They see that person who is very fit. They look good. They look healthy, having fun. And they're like, what do they do? And that's what we're chasing. You know, that person is having a good time. They feel confident. They feel good. They're out here doing this somehow and they look great. And they're doing that and fitting this into this full lifestyle. And that's the puzzle that we're always trying to put together. And it's a moving target at all times, with kids, with life, with business, with your jobs. But trying to find that, and, you know, is what we're, that's what we're trying to do now. That's the hack that we're, you know, the life hack we're trying to figure out.
There really is no life hack. The hack is actually just being really mentally, what is it? We're reading this new book, The Body Keeps Score, and is talking about your mental capacity to be pliable, mental pliability. Yep. So that's the life hack, is that to allow yourself to be mentally pliable, and it's a practice. And you can change this, and you can change like your brain activity. And this, that is a moving target as well, where you'll, if there's one key, I think it's not to get caught up in any area. Like we woke up to an email from Oscar's teacher today, and he had a little issue at school, and just like, okay, hey, buddy, you know, addressing this, not letting it blow up and consume us. Like, it's not the end of the world. He needs to be reprimanded a little. He's okay. Have a talk with him. But addressing what you need to and spending the time that you need to in each area. And sometimes it will be more with the kids, where earlier this year, he's in first grade, he needed a little bit more time and support. It was just a hard transition for him, and spending more time with him and supporting him more. And then when that's done, you might need to get back to yourself a little more, but you will naturally feel those pulls. You don't need to think through it like, oh, I feel like the kids just need a little bit more right now. Okay, like, and I was feeling like that. And then my mom wanted to take the kids for 2 days this weekend. And at first I was like, no, you know, they're too off their schedule. And then we went through some hard nights last week with Charlotte, and I called her up and I'm like, yes, two nights will be great. I'll see you Friday. Yep. They'll be fine. And they've been great this week, but it's a lot of family time together, and then we're going on vacation together. So I'm like, you know, this, and always, I'm always kind of feeling that and then thinking through that too. Like, okay, we have this weekend where the kids are going to be with my parents, and then we're going to spend next week, and then we're going to be with them every second of the day when we're on vacation. And vacations, I will highly recommend, if you guys have kids and you're taking them with you, you can do an all-inclusive that has like a kids program. It is really relaxing. It's the only way to relax, unless you have like grandparents or, you know, someone with you. But that's something
we found a good place for that.
Yeah.
So if you ever want a suggestion, we go every year now, break up the winter. But yeah, I think, you know, just leave you with finding that balanced life and adding some fun in a planned out way is actually a very beneficial thing for your fitness and overall well-being and health. Because without it, when your happiness levels drop, your motivation to train drops, all fitness really is, you know, I kind of came to this like in the last month. it's just trying to work on yourself. And if you don't have those relationships to maintain and you don't have fun or a thing that you're doing, it's tough. It's really tough to like, your why starts to get lost real fast. And, you know, maintaining all those friendships, relationships, and happiness is what's going to give you that feeling of, I want to go, you know, push myself and do these things in the gym. So if we can take one thing away from that, I think it's being happy makes better, you know, better athletes, better clients, better people in general, and much more fitter people as well. All right, we'll catch you guys next week.